You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Greg Griffith from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Griffith.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am terrific.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you in Mark chapter 6 today.
Yeah.
Tell us about Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan.
Yeah, so we are a congregation that's been around since 1853. We have a school ministry that was started in 1866 and a preschool ministry that's vibrant as well. We consider ourselves the church and the school of Macomb Township and the county. And since we've been around so long, and we also have the joy and the privilege of just serving in our community greatly. We are a larger congregation. We worship about 1,350 people a weekend and have just a lot of different ministry opportunities, whether it be for families or singles or seniors. We really also are very, very focused on being in the community. One of the questions that we continually work on is to say, if we were to close today, would anyone in our community notice and care? And that answer must be yes. And it is today, because we take our mission, which is to know Jesus, is to share his love, very, very seriously. So our entire ministry here is to share the love of Jesus and to be used by the Holy Spirit to grow his kingdom. And so it's a real joy to work in this kingdom of God here and be at just a wonderful, wonderful place. So,
well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Emmanuel in Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan, and
yeah.
that you get to serve there and proclaim the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
We're studying Mark chapter 6 today, verses 35 through 56. Pastor,
yeah.
what would you like for us to know as we look at this text?
You know, I love this text. I love this text because it really shows Jesus's heart for others. And also, what I love about this text is it's a terrific teaching text for the disciples and a teaching text for you and me. This is one of those texts that you look at first glance and you say, wow, that's unbelievable. But when you start to peel back the layers of an onion, you realize the beauty, the flavor, and the distinct taste of Jesus, which is that Jesus came to serve and to save all people, but also Jesus came to empower and knew that as he would rise, that he would need to empower his disciples, his church, to take care of the needs of those around him. So when I look at this text, I see not only the great gospel of Jesus, which is that he will feed us all, not only the physical, but more importantly, the spiritual food that we need to live and spend eternity with him. But also, I see in this a call back to us as a church. This text really reminds us that we have a obligation and an opportunity as our responsibilities of Jesus people to take care of the community around us. And everything we have in our community is already here for us to be able to be the church and to be his witnesses to all people. And so this always, for me, is a reminder for us that we are to take care of the weak, the widowed, the orphaned, the poor. And for me, I look at this text and see that this is a calling back to the church on earth. I believe that in America, we have probably abdicated our responsibility to take care of the community around us, the weak, the widowed, the orphaned, the hurting, those in great need physically, and we've given that over to the government or to other organizations or to other groups. But this is Jesus saying to us, no, this is yours. You do it. And so I love this text.
Let's take a look. Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 56. We're studying with Pastor Griffith from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. If you have a question or a comment on the text, give us a call or an email today. 314-821-0850 is the St. Louis number, or toll-free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to eat before the people, or to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the end of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So it grew late. His disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Jesus, it's late. It's time to, and we're in the middle of nowhere. Right. Send them somewhere to get something to eat.
Yeah, I think, so you look at this first, and at first glance you see and say, oh, wow, the disciples are caring for the others. They're looking around and they're seeing naturally what they know. And that is that, first, it's late in the day, and second, as you pointed out, Andy, that it's a desolate place. But yet, notice what they said, and this gets so easily removed here from us to kind of look at it and think, oh, yeah, they're really caring for themselves. Notice what they do, though. They don't say, "Lord, shall we go and buy them something to eat," right? So Jesus is teaching. Jesus is sharing. Jesus is giving great words. Now, also, notice what they don't do. They don't say, "Hey, Lord, it's late. We're all hungry." They probably were hungry, too. But mm-hmm. The disciples knew how great it was to have Jesus and his words teaching. So while trying to care for those around them, they also were saying, "We want to keep hearing, we want to keep going, but some of these people, they might be hungry, so you know, let's let them go get something to eat." They don't want to leave themselves here. And so this is an opportunity where we see that the disciples, you know, as though they thought it would be kind to dismiss them, right? They also didn't see the opportunity that they had to serve them, and that's where this sets it up, where Jesus is going to start a teaching moment about service, and a teaching moment to the people.
And how does Jesus answer them? He answered them, "You give them something to eat."
Right, right, right. Yeah, and so. Now this is where all of a sudden it's kind of like, wait, what are you talking about, Jesus, right? So he puts it on them, right? Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, I've got a plan. Don't worry about it." He doesn't say, "You know what, I'll provide for them. Let's just go and do this." He says to them, "You give them something to eat." So he charges them with something, right? And so, and notice, too, what he does. He orders that are all to be fed. He says every one of them should eat, right? So he gives them a great task, and says to them, "Give them something to eat." Now they notice this right away, right? They look around, they see, they know the crowd is great, and they say, "Hey, Jesus, there's no way," right? Like so that's why they say this would take more than a half a year's wages. And then they ask that question, right? Are you really saying that we should spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? I kind of think this is that spot where, you know, we talk in the church about caring for the weak, the widowed, and the poor, and then we get that and we get that question of, hey, but wait a minute, what our budget? Are we really saying that we're going to spend all this money on those people outside of us, and they may not come to our church? Yes, that is what Jesus is saying, right? So here it is where they're looking and they're saying, Jesus, we can't even do this. And if we could, it would cost us this much. Are you sure that that's exactly what you want to do? Right. Jesus, is coming to them, and he's giving them an amazing opportunity, to be his servants and to show them that he will provide.
He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And we'll talk about what he did with the loaves and the fish here in just a little bit. So how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they said, 5 and 2 fish.
Yeah. So 5 and 2 fish. I mean, they really go out there and they find out that they really have very, very little, right? But Jesus knows that they have enough, and so as they come, they come back kind of saying that, hey, Jesus, here we are, here's what we have, and then this is where that 5 loaves, 2 fish. Is going to be enough, right? This is, you know, potentially the catch that someone had caught for the day, right? This was a little for them, right? But yet, this is going to be enough there for them. So here's what I love too. Where does he send them to go and get the food? From the community, right where they're at. So they have enough to feed there that Jesus is going to do. They have enough in this provision, as he's going to have this miraculous provision happen, they have enough right there in the community. Here's where I take this and think we continue to learn from this. With the needs of our community around us, God's already provided the resources for us to take care of each other. And he sends us as a church to go into our community and say, what is already there?
Mm-hmm.
What's there, right? And what's already there to be able to provide and care for others around you?
You're right. A lot of local problems are solved locally with the local resources as God provides them. Yeah.
Correct. And it's really a faith for us to come. So when we look around and we say, what is God doing right here in the community? It's just really coming to him and saying, hey, Lord, here are the resources. You bless them. I'm going to, with your permission, Andy, just take a little side note here, how we here have done this. So a few years ago, we looked around our community and said, you know, we've got a lot of great needs. We have in our community, even though we're an affluent community, the average household income is about $82,000 to $88,000 a year. And yet we have a tremendous problem in our community because our school systems here are schools of choice. We have homeless students in our community. We have, in our school districts, we have 1,500 homeless students. We knew this was a problem in our community, and so we said, how do we help? How do we gather around and do this? And so we actually partnered with other churches, and we began a 5K because we knew our community loves 5Ks. They love to run. They love to gather as families, and they love to make differences in the community. And so we started a 5K called Run to Plank, and that 5K gives every dime that it raises back to local charities in our community. And in that first year, we raised $40,000. We doubled the budget for the Macomb Intermediate School District's Homeless Student Education Program. We doubled the budget for them for their year. We continue, and over the past 5 years, 4 years now, we're entering our fifth year, this partnership with three churches here has given away $158,000 to homeless students, to food pantries, to cancer research, and also support for families going through cancer, and all local nonprofits right here that are saying, we want to help. The needs are in the assets are in the community to serve and meet the needs of the community around us. We just have to go and look for them. We've just got to go and ask those questions. And this is why this passage to me means so much, because we're able to start new ministries and to reach new people and to share his love. And we don't do it so that they'll come to our church. We do it because it's what God called us to do.
And taking, verse 41, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men.
Yeah, so here we have Jesus being presented with the resources of the community. And this is the reminder for all of us that especially as we go and we're about to do great things. And here's what I also do say. I say when our church is at its best, the church on earth is at its best when we work together. I believe that, you know, this is taking the disciples and they're working together. They went out together with the 12 and they worked to say, what do we have? And they found the five loaves and the two fish. And individually, all churches do really good things. Collectively, we do things that are amazing. And then as we come back, it's that reminder that we give those what I would call those offerings of the community back to the Lord. And we say, Lord, this is yours. You bless it. And the Lord will take and do so much more with that than we can ever imagine, right? So we give it back to him as those five loaves and two fish were given to him. And notice what Jesus did. He looked up to heaven, gave thanks, and he broke them. And we've heard that language before, right? Getting ready to feed and to care earthly and spiritually for all people. And then the disciples were sent to go and distribute to the people. And they were sent out to go and to provide for all of those people that were there and ready to eat. And so, as we look at this, we see that Jesus blesses that which is given. Jesus, we give it to him, and then he says to us, you get to be the ones. I mean, how exciting is this, Andy? You get to be the ones that go out and share my love with other people. You get to be the ones that provide for their needs and get to see their face of gratitude, joy, of weeping, of unbelievable answered prayers. You get to be those answered prayers. And so we're reminded that it's not our glory. It's not us who have done this, but we're simply taking that which the Lord has given, where we've said, Lord, we don't know how this is going to happen, but we know these are the needs in the community, and we know that you can provide, and that the Lord blesses, and the Lord provides. And then he says to us, he says, you, Andy, go. Go and give it to them, and be strengthened, be encouraged. Be encouraged as I use you to answer those prayers. And the disciples, and then I love, as you read verse 42 there, right? Or 43, 42 and 43. They ate and we're satisfied. Jesus gives us enough, which means to take care of the needs in our community, it all is already here.
Not just enough, more than enough.
Correct, yeah.
In verse 43.
Yeah, 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and a fish. I mean, plenty. And again, you know, that 12 basketfuls, the full measure, right? The full measure. There's enough, more than enough for all of his church to do. And just absolutely amazing as we look and we see what Jesus is doing. And he's doing immeasurably more than we can imagine, just like you said.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Greg Griffith from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. We're in Mark chapter 6 today, verses 35 through 56. If you have a question or a comment on the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
What are the Jagged Word, Virtue in the Wasteland, League of Faithful Masks, and NRP books? They are all projects and partners of 1517 The Legacy Project. The projects serve churches and the world by providing a refuge for those broken by the church, supplying theological resources to strengthen congregations, and modeling ways of engaging the culture in a manner that is thoughtful, courageous, and Christ-centered. Check us out at 1517legacy.com. Stand with us.
On the next Law and Gospel, I, Tom Baker, and Pastor Mark Smith will examine the hymn, May God Bestow on Us His Grace. The question we're going to be answering is, why does God bestow on you His grace? Is it because you have the right attitude? What is the reason?
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Greg Griffith from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. We're in Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 56. Just finished up at verse 44. Pastor, anything else before we go on to 45?
No. We're going to continue right on. So Jesus does some great work here now.
Immediately, He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. And after He had taken leave of them, He went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them, but when they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. You go on ahead. I'm going to dismiss the crowd.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating here. So first, he sends the disciples out onto that ship and that boat to go. And they probably assumed, you know, okay, He's going to follow us by land is what they thought, right? That mm-hmm. assumption there. But notice the crowd is staying. And here again we see Jesus at work, but Jesus also sharing with us some great words and some great insight here. So the crowd has just been fed; their bellies are full. Matter of fact, you know they're at that point where they've been hearing this great teaching, they've been fed. You know they're experiencing for them a little foretaste of heaven, right? Where just that full satisfaction has come around them. They've had that meal together, and they're focused on Jesus, right? Not only His words, but His actions. But they don't want to leave. So Jesus is sending them, and I believe that this passage too reminds us of this, right? They don't want to leave because they want to continue to have this feast. They want to continue to be with Jesus there, and this is a reminder that you know, as we're here in this world still, right? That we don't have the continuing city, right? We are not in that constant communion with Jesus, meaning this, that everlasting feast, that's reserved for a future date and a future state. And so Jesus dismisses the crowd to go back to their world, back to their homes, back to their vocations, back to the ministries which he's given them on this earth, right? And then what does he do? In verse 46, he's going to leave them.
And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray.
So I love when we see Jesus doing his greatest work. I mean, he's just fed the 5,000. He sent the disciples onto the boat, and they're heading out across the sea. And what does Jesus do? He prays. You know, and for pastors and for our people and for church workers specifically, right? This is that reminder for us, with so much work on our hands, with so much preaching work that's being done and that needs to be done, all those things, Jesus reminds us that we must retreat to prayer. We must retreat to prayer. And we see throughout the scriptures that Jesus preached often, or prayed often, and he prayed a long time. And this is that encouragement for us that we have to, in the midst of our ministerial busyness, and that the things that we say, we have to remember that we've got to depend on him for intercession. And that continual intercession, because he's the one that's hearkening and taking not only our needs, but the ministries which he's entrusted to us, to the Father, to be blessed. And so as Jesus goes to pray, it's a reminder for us that we too are to pray. And, you know, for me, I'm going to tell you a little bit here, Andy, about myself. One of the ways that I encourage myself on this, I told you earlier that our church has been around since 1853. We're coming up here in 2 short years on our 165th anniversary of being blessed as a ministry right here in Macomb. I continually, and what I love about being a pastor of a church with such an amazing longevity of a history, I continually remind myself, there's nothing I am doing today, nothing that is so important today, that will keep Emmanuel open for the next 160 years or close it today. What's most important for me is to focus on Jesus. And so my reminder is that I've got to continually go back to the Lord, and that I have to not be a task-oriented pastor, but I've got to be a relationship-oriented pastor. First, my relationship with Jesus. Second, my relationship with others. And the rest, it doesn't mean I ignore the tasks, but they're not my priority. My priority is Jesus. And this is that passage that reminds us of that we go there. The other thing is he goes alone to pray, right? Not because he needed to retire, not because he was, you know, an introvert that's surrounded by people and now he's exhausted by his creation. No. His love is his creation. I would actually think that Jesus, this is pure speculation, I would think Jesus gets energized by being surrounded by his greatest of creation, right? But he goes to pray alone. He goes to pray alone to be just in communion with him and the Father, right? And so we are called to be alone with God, right? And this is where we're told to address the Lord in secret, right? And to be in that closet with the Lord. And so this is where that time where we are reminded that we too must take those times to be alone and to say, no, I'm in communion and communication with my God, right?
And when, so he went, he took leave of them, went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea.
Right. Yeah. But here's what we see in that, right? So looking at us as the disciples and looking at the disciples in them, notice this. Jesus is alone on the land. But notice who's not out of his sight, right? He's far away. The disciples are toiling. They're working hard. They're trying to row that boat because the master has said, I'll meet you on the other side. And they're thinking he's walking around through the land. But they're never out of his sight. They're never out of his sight. And so as the wind is, you know, as it kind of can say, the wind's in their teeth, right? It's just coming against them, and they're straining, and they're working, all of that. He sees them, and notice what he does. He has compassion on them. He has compassion that he sees them straining, and so he's gonna come out, and he's going to walk by them on that lake. He's going to pass by them, and this is an interesting passage, right? And so he's planning, because he knows what? They're going to make it. They're going to be fine, right? And it's not going to be a problem. But he's going to walk past them and to meet them on that other side. And so as he goes before dawn, he walks by them or is about to pass them. And I think this is the reminder for us that the church, right, the church is going to be in the midst of storms. And we see that constantly. That we're going to have storms. We're going to have times where it's hard, right? And here's the application for this. First, that Jesus never loses sight of his church. And when I say his church, I mean not only the churches that he set up, but I mean the church, the people. He never loses sight of us. He's never lost sight of us. And that he already has made sure that we're going to be okay. I like what Max Lucado in his book, you're going to get through this. You'll get through this, his book. It's a terrific book. Just the reminder that no matter what storms happen in our lives, that we're going to get through this because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And there's a time and a place for us to state that, but it's the reality that we do live in. We're going to get through this.
And he meant to pass by them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.
Yeah. So, you know, he would have gone past them, meaning that he has the providence for them. He already knows that they're going to they're going to be fine. And so he would have gone right past them and they would have made it. But they became frightened, right? They became frightened by the sight of him. They thought he was a ghost there. They were troubled, right? Thinking this was a demon, evil genius, something that raised up this storm, right? And think about this for us. We oftentimes too become frightened in the midst of our life's hardships. We become perplexed. We look around and we think, oh gosh, this is going to be terrible, and we have fear overtaking us. And I love this acronym for fear, because I think it's what the disciples had, and it's what we sometimes get embraced in. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real is what fear is. But Jesus reminds us that he is not false evidence, nor is he there with bad. He's there with love, right? And so he encourages them, and he comes and he comes to silence their fears. And I'm not sure where we're at on time here, Andy, but I want to get to the fact that as he comes, he calms their fears. He speaks with them, tells them, stop fearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And uses these great words, it is I, your master, your friend, your redeemer, your savior. I am your God. So those words just comment. And then what he does is he calms everything down. And the winds die, and he reminds them that he's the God that has complete control over all nature as well. And so that storm becomes a peaceful, placid lake.
Hmm. Yeah. He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened.
Yeah. So he does these things. He encourages them, and that peace is still, right? And they're astounded. They're astounded by his work, right? And they're astounded by what he has done. And you know, it's interesting because you look at this and you say, well, what do you mean? How can they be confused? How can they not understand this coming off of the loaves and everything that was there, right? And their hearts are, what does that mean that their hearts were hardened, right? So it is a reminder for us, right, that the work of God, right, the work of God that he does in our midst is that great work, and that we look at it and we see what he is doing, but we also know that he will continue to do great works, right? And so it's not just a once and done, nor is it also the ability of us to kind of look and say, well, God did that once and he can't do more, but really to open up and remind ourselves, we've got the God who's the God of miracles. Mm. We've got the God who's the God of miracles. We've got the God who rose from the dead. And so whatever may come, whatever ministries he lays before us, whatever's going on around us, we've got this because he's got us, right? And so we don't look around and we don't say that, oh, you know, the world's just turning into this terrible place. Our church can't grow. It's God's church. It will grow. Let us not be confused. Let us not harden our hearts. Let us see the reality of this, that God loves every person so much that he will use us to do anything short of sin to reach those who don't yet know him. And let us just continue to go out and trust in this miraculous God who feeds the 5,000, who calms the storm, and who can transform every single heart because he's transformed ours.
Let's take a look at these last four verses, 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came in, villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well.
You know, the piece that I love there is as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. Here's what I pray for us and our churches and each and every one of us, that as soon as we head out into our communities, people recognize Jesus. Let them see Jesus in us. Let us see us as Jesus people. And what is Jesus? Jesus is love. And notice this too. Jesus gets messy here, right, Andy? I mean, look at this. He's there and he's with the sick and he's with the people that are hurting. And he's in the villages and the towns and they're just begging, "Let me touch you, let me touch you." He's with those and it's getting messy. And you know what he's doing? He's loving. He's loving and he's caring and he's caring for all of the people. This is the people out of the bounds. It's not about protecting purity of doctrine or anything like that. He's wanting to share love. And he's saying, recognize God as love. And he's going to do that ministry and that work where they're going to love and they're going to recognize a God who loves. And then he's going to let and have his Spirit, and as you and I as the church now let the Holy Spirit work within them, and that they're going to see Jesus in us. And when I see Jesus, I see Jesus loving us because I love because he first loved me. And this passage is about us going out into the community and sharing the love of Jesus, getting messy, knowing that it's going to be okay because Jesus has never let his watchful eye off of us, and he's constantly intercessing for us. Jesus fixes it when I screw up, and that gives me great peace. And in the midst of my storms of ministry, he calms and makes that lake, that peaceful lake, to get me to that other side and to say, Greg, get back to work. Get out there. Get messy for me, right? Share my love.
Anything else looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor?
You know, I think that I would just say in this text, as we look at it, let us just not forget who's God, what God we serve, and who he is. That he is the great I am, and that he's our master and our friend, and that also he has an eye on his greatest creation. And I just finally say, you know, as our churches, we live today in 2016, and we can't just open all the doors and say, you all come. We need to open all the doors and say, you all get out. Get out and get into the community. And Jesus has said, you go feed them. He has said, you go to the other side. He has sent us to go and do his work. And so I implore everyone listening, get out and serve. Serve Jesus, serve others.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Greg Griffith from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. Pastor Griffith, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study in Mark chapter 6 today.
You're welcome, Andy. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to sanctify your morning. I hope you can join us for that. And morning prayer coming up in just a little bit during the 9 o'clock hour. All great ways to start your day with the Word of God in prayer here on His Time.